The Lord is using sinners, pastors, deaconesses, short-term missionaries to work amazing miracles to bring millions of people in Iran and Afghanistan who are lost in a spiritual dungeon, to bring them out of that dungeon into the glory, into the light of Jesus Christ. And he's using us sinners and doing this work through us and in many cases, in spite of us. He gets the job done and uses us as his tools.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How do LCMS missionaries serve in Germany, particularly serving refugees who are coming to Germany? We'll learn more in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Christian Teves. He's an LCMS missionary serving in Hamburg, Germany. Dr. Teves, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
So glad to be here.
I think the last time we got to sit down together and chat was at the LCMS convention. We had an opportunity to talk during the on The Coffee Hour there and visit off air as well and learn a little bit about how you were been given to serve there. And I know it's been a little bit of time since then. Things have probably changed in how you go about serving. Tell us about how the Lord brought you to serve in this part of the world.
Well, it's a fun story, Andy. maybe I'd have to start with the point that I didn't become a Christian until I was 40. So I am now 68. So I was a convert, and that has been so useful as I work with Iranian and Afghan refugees, virtually all of whom are also converts. So I can very much relate to what it's like to be in spiritual darkness. I was, and many of them are as well. I spent half of my life in Germany, half of my life in the States, kind of back and forth between both countries. But I did not hear, as I said, the gospel until I was 40, actually in an LCMS church in Texas. And having spent much of my life in Germany at that point, which is a post-Christian society, right now they estimate that about 3 to 4% of Germans have an active faith life. And this is despite the fact that maybe 60% are baptized, but churches are essentially museums. There are exceptions, of course, but by and large, that's the way it is. And so when I moved to my wife, Lula, and I, when we moved to the States in the mid-90s, for me, it was going back to the States. For her, it was new. For years, I said, the last place I want to do any kind of church work, I'd already become a pastor years later, would be in Germany, because I might as well chew on gravel, because it is such a hard ministry, because, as I said, no one is interested. And then, as you might recall, 15, that was already several years into the Syrian civil war, and literally millions and millions of people from mostly from Middle Eastern countries poured into Europe, many of those to Germany. And so I had already been serving as a pastor at that point for 6 years, 2015, and I saw how ministry in Germany to a certain group of Muslim refugees was flourishing, namely refugees from Iran and Afghanistan flowing into Germany. And I thought, now that would be the exception to the rule. I would love to be involved in that kind of work in Germany, not so much working with Germans, because it's a tough thing, but with people who are very, very open to the gospel. And so the main ethnic group there would be Iranians. And here we are, 11 years later, surrounded by refugees, and many of whom are Iranian. And it is a most gratifying and beautiful thing to see how they embrace Christ, especially in the midst of the war that is going on. When this is broadcast, we'll know more. But right now, it is a very, very tough situation, even though we're in Germany, where we're not in any danger. But nonetheless, we're spiritually suffering with them because they are all suffering about the situation in their homeland.
Now, you're located in Hamburg, Germany. Describe the community where you serve. How has it changed with the increase of refugees?
27% of the population of Germany has what they called a migration background. And of course, that would also include some Ukrainians. But of the 27%, by and large, most of it is really from Muslim countries. And so the Muslim presence in Germany, especially in the large cities like Hamburg, is very noticeable. I think 2 years ago, we were in Istanbul. We travel a lot as missionaries, but we were in Istanbul. And seeing the people, especially the women, because it's more visible with women because of the hijab, Hamburg looks more Muslim than Istanbul. And that was really an amazing thing. You see, we live near a large shopping center, and so many of the women wear hijabs or burqas or niqabs or any kind of traditional Muslim clothing. And there is a very large Muslim neighborhood near the church where I serve, which is Zion Lutheran Church, belongs to the Selk. Selk is the LCMS church partner in Germany. And you walk down the street and you basically don't hear any German. And you have Afghan shops, Iranian shops, various Turkish, a lot of Turkish, of course. And so I lived in Germany from the 70s to the 90s, and it's quite a different country than it was then. And it's, on the one hand, it's a little bit sad because the Germany that I grew up with is, at least in the large cities, is no longer there. On the other hand, as a pastor and as a Christian, it is very exciting because this one particular ethnic group, the Iranians, and to a certain extent the Afghans, they are embracing Christianity. Other people groups, so your Syrians, Turks, Northern Africans, and all Saudi Arabians, they reject Christianity. But Iranians and Afghans do. And we could go on and on about that if you want. There are historic reasons for that. But to see these people coming from a culture of, well, a very difficult culture, oppressive culture, especially for women, to see them flourish here and to embrace Christ, to receive and to hear about the forgiveness of sins. This is a totally alien concept. And to see them grow in their faith, and even to see some of them wanting to become pastors, and I'm privileged to mentor some of these men, it's a huge thing. So it's kind of a mixed bag to see Germany change, and Europe changing for that matter. I mean, it's no different in France and in Belgium and in the UK. But especially as Lutherans, we have the doctrine of the two kingdoms, meaning essentially it's kind of church and state, you could say it in a simplified way. As a citizen, this is unsettling, but as a Christian, it is very encouraging. And so we live in this tension of both of these things being true, both of them going on at the same time, but also as a pastor and as a missionary, being a very small part of this mission process is very gratifying. And I love my work and love being a tiny part of the history that we're experiencing here.
Tell us more about how you see Iranians and Persians being open to the gospel. What do you think the connection is there, or the reason that there's an openness to hear the gospel?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Andy. It's an amazing thing, and that has to do with the Persian culture. For example, did you know that King Cyrus, now he was the one who who released the Jewish captives from Babylon, released them back to that he is in the Old Testament, King Cyrus, 19 times. And he is the father of the Persian country. So if you will, he is, King Cyrus is sort of like the George Washington of their culture. So the father of their country. And this is 2,500 years ago, not 250 years ago. So when they happen upon a Bible, and especially as they look at the Old Testament, they see King Cyrus. And they say, well, wait a minute, that's the father of our country. Why is, this is really interesting. So you have that connection. And then you have also the connection that that you have the three wise men, right? Who visited at least one of them, maybe two of them, come from Persia. And so you have that connection too, following the star and all of that. In Micah 5 is that where we see that, and also in Numbers, following the star, and that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. This also is connected to their culture. And then you have in West Azerbaijan, the western part of Iran, you have the so-called Black Church, black because it was made of basalt, and this church was built during the lifetime of Saint Paul. And it is one of the oldest churches in the world, and it is smack in the middle of Iran. And they know these things. And so it is estimated, no one can know the true number, but it is estimated that a third of the Iranian population today is secretly Christian. Now, the tragedy is, since, with the exception of the Armenians, and that's a different tribe and a different culture, but everyone who's, and that's only 2% of the population. So everyone else, they don't have churches, they don't have pastors. What they do have is many tiny little house churches, and of course with house church leaders who probably don't know very much about Christianity, but it is some kind of leader in that little group. So none of these 30%, almost none of them are baptized. And they are yearning to be baptized, but they're afraid to be baptized even in the kitchen sink because they're afraid of any kind of documentation or any kind of making an official move, because if that were to be found out by the regime, the IRGC, we know this acronym, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Council. We hear it on the news every day, or read about it. If they were to find out about these any conversions, that would at a minimum mean prison, possibly even execution. And so they know this, and that is why they're very hesitant. But in their hearts, they have already become Christians. And here's another interesting thing that you will appreciate. So you say, how are these people today in the 2020s, how are they finding Christianity? And this is now a larger thing. This goes beyond Iran and Afghanistan. You might have heard this before. Muslims all over the world, from Morocco to Indonesia, and also in the United States, many of them are experiencing the same dream. And in these dreams, Jesus is calling them out of the darkness of Islam into the light of Christianity. Now, we're all Lutherans, right? And you say, dreams? Really? This doesn't sound terribly Lutheran. Well, think of Joseph. Think of Daniel, right? Think of the New Testament Joseph, the guardian of Jesus, also had dreams. God does sometimes connect with people through dreams. And so many of these Iranians are also, they are experiencing these dreams, and Jesus is calling them out of Islam. And so they poke around on the internet, and they use VPNs, so they use basically software that pretends or makes it look like they're not in Iran so they can access outside internet sources. They find the Bible. There is a very good translation. It's called the New Millennial Version of the Bible in Farsi. That's the version we use here too. And so they read on the Bible and they join, they find house churches. They connect with their relatives and their friends in the West. And by the way, this is another fascinating thing. So here we're doing Persian ministry here in Germany and also to a certain extent in France. But the largest Persian city outside of Tehran, the capital of Iran, is a little village in Southern California that they call Tehrangelis. Right? There are 700,000 at least Iranians living in Southern California. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Reza Pahlavi, the son of the former Shah and the one who would like to be the new Shah, I believe he also lives in Southern California. So at any rate, there's a lot of potential for Persian outreach within the LCMS too. And so all of these things come together. They know their history, they know their geography, they know about this oldest church in Iran. Many of them are experiencing these dreams, and they're talking to their Christian friends and family in Germany and elsewhere and the United States, and they're, for the very first time, they're hearing the beautiful news of the forgiveness of sins and Jesus Christ taking all of our sins upon himself on just Good Friday, just recently, right? And then on Easter Sunday, rising again from the dead and bursting forth and defeating sin, death, and the devil. And not only for himself, not the sin part, of course, but the death and the devil, but giving that to all of everyone who is baptized and believes in him. And they want that. Many of them want that. And so we are guiding them to receive Jesus in word and sacrament. That's what we do here in Hamburg and our colleagues in other cities across Germany as well.
We have more to talk about with the Reverend Dr. Christian Teves, LCMS missionary serving in Hamburg, Germany, right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Christian Teves, LCMS missionary serving in Hamburg, Germany. And Dr. Teves, you've given us a really interesting description of the Persian people and their openness to hearing the gospel. A very, very interesting. Tell us more about the work that you do to serve these refugees in Germany.
Yeah. So I'm a pastor, so I do what every other pastor does. So I teach and I preach and I baptize along with my colleagues, and we prepare the people for baptism. We have a 16-week course in preparing for baptism, and we have Bible classes every Sunday, and so you are probably familiar with the three pillars of the office, the LCMS Office of International Mission. Those three pillars are spread the gospel, plant Lutheran churches, and show mercy, right? So, and everything we LCMS missionaries do, we try to fit into one of those three pillars or buckets. And so I do all of those. But another task that I have is to serve as one of the theological instructors at an online seminary that the LCMS runs in Riga, Latvia. And I'm sure you've interviewed others about this as well, my colleagues there. And so I also am always on the lookout for potential men who potentially would have the right stuff to become Lutheran pastors. And right now, we have four men who are in various stages of becoming Lutheran pastors, studying at online at Luther Academy. And so I teach them, but I also mentor them. And that is a huge part of the process. And recently, one of my students asked me, he said, how many Persian Lutheran pastors do we need? And I said, listen, I said, who knows, maybe next month, Iran could be free. It could be. And if that's the case, we're going to need thousands and thousands and thousands of Lutheran pastors. We're going to need, so Tehran is a city of 16 million. We're going to need like 10 just in Tehran and then all over the country. And I said, listen, you know, don't fear. We need thousands and thousands, but we're already working on four out of thousands and thousands. So we're really, really moving forward, right? So I do that. So, and forming Lutheran pastors, of course, is the first building block to planting Lutheran churches, right? So in other words, we already have the people. We need the pastors, and we're working on that. But the third thing that all LCMS missionaries do is to show mercy. By the way, not just in this generic sense of digging water wells, but always showing mercy in connection with word and sacrament. That is very important. And so the way we do that is all of these refugees who come to Germany, they all request asylum. And there are two ways they can do this. One, because they might be political refugees, because they have somehow run afoul or they have protested or something in Iran and they had to flee. Otherwise, they would have thrown into prison or killed. And the other one, of course, is for religious reasons. And so they all have to undergo an asylum process with the German courts. And requesting asylum in Germany, either as a political refugee or as a Christian, because if they're Christians and they were to be sent back, then they would be again prison or execution. And so we help prepare them also for their asylum interviews. And this is actually, I mean, both of you, you were confirmed when you were teenagers, right? And you can remember your pastor asking you the questions, and maybe you rolled your eyes and whatever, and maybe you had to recite the Ten Commandments or so in front of the congregation. Maybe you had to do that. So, but I'll tell you, when these people, when they have to defend their Christian faith in front of a German court, and they know if they fail that, then they could be sent back to Iran, that sharpens the senses, that sharpens the mind. And to be with them in this process, and also I regularly testify there in court, they ask me to, and I testify on their behalf, saying, yes, I do believe this is an authentic Christian, and so on. To be part of this process is very deep and very powerful. You know, as pastors, one of the amazing things of being a pastor, you walk alongside people in the highs and the lows of life, in confirmation, at weddings, and at the birth, at the funeral. And you, families invite you into their midst to share these highs and lows of their life. And that's an amazing privilege that has been given to us. But in this particular case, it is also to be with them as they really, really struggle over the war that is going on in their homeland. And by the way, they are so, so grateful that we have come to their aid, and Israel as well. So they want regime change, and they are so grateful that we are there to try and push out these very, very evil people, the IRGC. But in that courtroom, to be with them as they are literally dying a thousand deaths, because they know if they blow this, they will be sent back. To be part of that is a very humbling experience, and it's very intense. And so these are some of the things that we missionaries and my colleagues in the other cities do exactly the same thing. To be part of this is wonderful, and I'm so glad to be part of this.
With just about a minute left, what do you want today's listener to know about the Lord's work in Germany serving refugees?
The Lord is using sinners, pastors, deaconesses, short-term missionaries to work amazing miracles to bring millions of people in Iran and Afghanistan who are lost and spiritually in a spiritual dungeon, to bring them out of that dungeon into the glory, into the light of Jesus Christ. And he's using us sinners and doing this work through us, and in many cases, in spite of us. He gets the job done and uses us as his tools.
You can read more about Pastor Teves in Lutherans Engage online by visiting engage.lcms.org. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Christian Teves, LCMS missionary serving the Lord in Hamburg, Germany. Dr. Teves, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.